We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. I'm going to read, God willing, verses 18, 19, and 20. Last Sunday, I said to you something to the effect that I wanted to preach to you about the giving of thanks and thanksgiving. I said to you that I wanted to try to preach to you about the blessings that we have. And of course, the most important, the greatest blessing is life through Jesus Christ. Spiritual blessings. And then there are natural blessings, all from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from God, cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James tells us, I think it's 1:18, but it's in the book of James in the New Testament. And I had said to you that I wanted to concentrate last week on spiritual blessings because they're the greatest. And then I was going to use this Sunday to exhort you to be thankful for natural blessings. Well, as I started making notes and thinking about this and writing out my notes, I said, well, I want to review a minute about the spiritual blessings that we have. And you probably won't be surprised to learn that I got started on spiritual blessings. And 95% of my review was that, my sermon was that, and 5% on natural blessings. So when I get to thinking, brethren, about God's blessings and saving us from our sins and giving His only begotten Son, I mean, you start giving thanks for that and I start praising God for that, there's not a lot of time left for natural blessings, although I surely am blessed naturally and I thank God for it. So I'm going to try to follow that, what I said to you I wanted to try to do, but would you look in Ephesians 5, 18, 19, and 20. We have these words from the Apostle Paul. He's writing to a church at a place called Ephesus in his day. And he says this, in verse 18, chapter 5, Ephesians, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." If I read that correctly, brethren, that's Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. God bless the reading of His Word. God bless the hearing of His Word. God bless me to preach the Word this morning to His honor and glory and to my and your education in the Word. Thanksgiving. You know, I've been here, I think, about 3 years now, and I've been coming here for about 35 years or more, probably. You know, if I show up around November, that I'm going to preach to you about Thanksgiving. It's a wonderful season of the year. It's a wonderful thing to give thanks to God. Every year, I relearn how many scriptures there are that exhort you and me to give thanks to God. It's a wonderful thing to do that. And so that's been on my mind for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And last week we looked at Psalm 100, didn't we? Psalm 100. The Old Testament, throughout the Psalms in the Old Testament, we're exhorted to give thanks, to be thankful people. As well, the New Testament. I spent last Sunday in Psalm 100. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And we're just exhorted all through the Bible to be thankful people. Also, there's that warning that says in the last days, men will be unthankful. So we need to guard against that. The natural blessings and the spiritual blessings for which we're thankful. For just a minute, and as I sat down to make my notes about being thankful, I said, well, I want to review just a minute about spiritual blessings. And I got to making notes and scriptures popped into my head and I began to write. I just want to give you my thoughts here. And then after that review, which is going to take most of our time probably, I want to approach the issue or the subject of thanksgiving for natural blessings. The sermon last week was on giving of thanks for spiritual blessings, most importantly, spiritual life. The Word of God tells us in Ephesians, "You hath He quickened." Quickened means to give life or make alive. The Word of God tells us that God's people have been quickened. We've been made alive because we were dead. The Word of God says, "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." In Adam, we all died. All men died. When he disobeyed God, we fell away. He fell and we fell in him. He's our representative head. And we fell. And not only did we fall, we fell out of God's favor. We fell into death. As we live day by day, we break God's law. Not only did Adam do it and we suffer for it, but we do it too. Sometimes intentionally and sometimes unintentionally, but we do. We just break the law of God. But God, in His grace and mercy, comes and quickens us. We who were dead in trespasses and sins have been quickened or made alive. We've been given life through Christ Jesus and in Christ Jesus. A term for it is eternal life or everlasting life. We've been brought from death to life. You who were dead in trespasses and sins have been made alive. That's Ephesians 2:1. It's the gift of God. It's unearned and it's undeserved. It's the simply by the grace of God. It's the gift of God. Every good gift, I said it a moment ago, every perfect gift comes down from God. James, that's James 1:17. Paul the Apostle speaks about that gift in all over the New Testament, but in 2 Corinthians 9:15, he says this, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." You know that's one of my favorites. Thanks be unto God. Thanks to God. Paul says, "I thank God for His unspeakable gift." Can't speak about it enough. Words can't adequately describe it. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. A gift is something, brethren, that's given, is not earned, is not deserved. And that's the gift of eternal life. We've been given. God gives it freely. It's not earned. Life in me and in you. We evidence that. We were studying this morning in Bible study about the abundant life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I came down from heaven. And He did. He was made flesh and began to dwell among us. After He was made flesh, after He was born of the Virgin Mary, He grew up, He became a man, He began to preach and teach. And He said, "I came here, I left heaven and came here that my people might have life. I came that they might have life." We were dead in trespasses and sins. "I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." We're studying that term, the abundant life. Jesus gives life in two ways. He saves us from our sins and so that we can be with Him when we die. But also, brethren, He says, "If you'll keep my commandments, I'll come, I'll manifest myself to you." Manifest myself. I'll show you. I'll walk with you. I'll guide you. I'll be with you. He says He and the Father will do that. And that's the abundant life as we walk the narrow way that leads to that abundant life. You can't have it. You can't find it walking in the broad way. You only find pain and hurt and misery walking in the broad way. Walking in the narrow way, though, leads to life. That, Jesus says, that abundant life. One of the things that evidences that you are a child of God is that you love one another. When people see us manifesting our love, showing our love, practicing our love for one another, John, the Apostle John, who was very, very close to Jesus, 1 John 3:14, it says, "We know that we have passed from death to life." We know it. How do we know it? One way we know it is because we love the brethren. Yesterday, the brethren were on this place, were working. And leading up to yesterday, brethren showed up, sometimes individually, to work upkeep of the church and the grounds. It's an evidence that we love God and we love one another. You come here to work. That's been some evidence. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. When I was making my notes, this dawned on me. I don't know that I'd ever seen it in this light before. That verse says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. When I was writing that out, I mean, I knew this truth before, but I don't think I'd ever seen it exactly like this. You know, to pass from death unto life is a wonderful thing. We often have prayer here for people who have passed from life unto death. They were alive physically and they died. Their families lost them. They're gone. They die. Passing from life unto death is a thing we don't like to think about. But what a wonderful thing to think about, to say that we've passed from death unto life. That's what I want, brethren. That's what I want to celebrate. And that's what I want to know about me and my loved ones and my brethren. We pass from death unto life. That's what counts there, brethren. Because Jesus said, and John records, that though a man be dead, yet shall he live. He that believes in me shall never die. The soul never dies. We sing the hymn, I'm on my way to that fair land where the soul never what? Dies. And we live forever. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Because God's made us alive. He makes us alive. And only God can do that. Life to death. That's okay. Because we know that we pass from death unto life. And we live on. We live on. There's an old hymn that says, when my body's slumbering in the cold, cold clay, I'll what? Live on. I'll live on. Yes, I'll live on. In eternity, I'll live on. Because we belong to God. We're created in Christ Jesus. Last week, I cited to you verse 4 of Psalm 100 that says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And I spent several minutes emphasizing to you and to myself that I didn't make myself. God made me. God made me. I'm one of His people, and I'm one of the sheep of His pasture. And He's going to shepherd me. He's going to see about me. He's going to see about every one of His sheep. Not one shall perish or be lost. His blood has bought them, what? Dear they cost. The blood of Christ has bought them. We're created in Christ Jesus. It is He that hath made us. He made us. He made us physically, and He made us His own. Spiritually, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation, a new creature, a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're redeemed, brethren, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed not by corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1:18. He sought us and bought us with His what? Redeeming blood. Victory in Jesus. Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 7:23. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We're God's portion. We belong to God. I want to read you something now that a man wrote about verse 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 32, which says, the Lord's portion is His people. Most mornings, Dan and I read a devotion. I want to read this to you. It was on Tuesday, I think, of this week. We read this one, and it's from C.H. Spurgeon, and he cites this verse, the Lord's portion is His people. The Lord's possession is His people. God possesses, owns, creates, and owns and saves His people. We belong to Him. The Lord's portion is His people. Listen to this. It's wonderful. When I read it, it was on the 15th, whatever day that was. I said to Jan, after we got through reading it, we were talking about how good this is. We think it is. And I want to share it with you. We want to share it with you. I said, I'm probably going to read that on Sunday. because it's along that theme of belonging to God. The Lord's portion is His people. How are they His? And He begins to cite three ways, brethren, that you and I, how we belong to God, how we got in His possession, what He did to get us. How are they His? By His sovereign choice. We are chosen in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world. Every child of God belongs to God because He chose them. How are they His? By His own sovereign choice. He chose them and set His love upon them. Do you remember is it Jeremiah where it says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. This He did altogether apart from any goodness in them at the time or any goodness which He foresaw in them. God knows everything, right? He's omniscient. He knows everything. From before the foundation of the world, He knew us and He chose to love us. Not because of any good thing that we did, simply by His mercy. This He did, He loved us and chose us altogether apart from any goodness in them at the time, or any goodness which He foresaw in them. He had mercy on whom He would have mercy, and ordained a chosen company unto eternal life. Thus, therefore, are they His by unconstrained election. He chose them. They are not only His by choice, but by purchase. He has bought and paid for them to the utmost farthing. Do you know what a farthing is? It's a piece of money. Heather, I looked at you because Heather likes England and the things of England. She studies it. She's visited there, I guess. I wonder if she knows what a farthing is. I knew it was a piece of money, but I didn't know this until I looked it up. I knew it was a small piece of money. I thought it was. And this is what I found on a farthing. It says, God has bought and paid for us to the utmost farthing. A farthing is 1/4 of a penny. How about that? 1/4 of a penny. Spurgeon says, to emphasize that you're bought with a price and that you're fully paid for, he says He's paid to the utmost farthing. Every single down to a farthing, which is worth 0.25 cents. And for your information, it's what I read said that the farthings were withdrawn in 1961. I guess it was determined it was too small an amount and things were expensive. But, you know, there's some talk once in a while about doing away with pennies, I think, in our culture. Even dollars, I have heard. But anyway, so there he's making the point there that God has paid totally to the utmost farthing. And that's in the middle of a sentence. And it says here, hence, about His title, there can be no dispute. No dispute, brethren, that you and I belong to God. As with silver and gold, not with corruptible things, He's purchased us, as with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's portion has been fully redeemed. There is no mortgage on His estate. I was in a real estate transaction this week, and the lawyer looked at one person and said, I'm going to take these proceeds from the sale here, and I'm going to pay off the mortgage that's on this property. The fellow who owned it, who was selling it, what he got was what was left after the mortgage was paid. There was a lien on it. There was not a clear title on it because somebody else had an interest in it. A debt was owed on it. So there was in the public records of this county, there was an instrument evidencing that there was money owed on it, and no one could get clear title until it was paid. And Spurgeon says, there's no mortgage on God's estate, brethren, of His people. No suits can be raised by opposing claimants. The price was paid in open court, and the church is the Lord's freehold forever. See the blood mark upon all the chosen. The chosen of God, brethren, have the blood of Jesus on them. invisible to human eye, but known to Christ. For the Lord knoweth them that are His. Invisible to the human eye. But you know what? That verse that says, we know that we have passed from death into life if we love the brethren. You can look. And if you see people who love one another and they love the things of God, they love to come to the house of God, you can see the blood mark on them. You can see that in their lives. Oh, it's not a red stain on them like Jill had on her cheeks yesterday. Jill, I don't want to embarrass you first time here. She killed a deer. She killed her first deer and she had got the blood mark on her. That's a symbol. That's a symbol. That's a sign, brethren, that she's done something. And brethren, the sign, brethren, the blood mark on you is that God, that Jesus Christ died for you. He died for you to save you. See the blood mark upon the chosen, invisible to human eye, but known to Christ, for the Lord knoweth them that are His. He forgetteth none of those whom He has redeemed from among men. He counts the sheep for whom He laid down His life, and remembers well the church for which He gave Himself. They're His by choosing. They're His by purchase. They also are His by conquest. This speaks, brethren, of Jesus conquering our stubborn will. Listen to this. And this is true in my life right here. Probably true in yours. They are also His by conquest. What a battle He had in us before we would be won. W-O-N, won. How long He laid siege to our hearts. How often He sent us terms of capitulation. God did that with me, brethren. The Holy Spirit did that with me over and over and over. And I wouldn't capitulate because I had things I wanted to do. I had time. I got time. Somebody just said in the last day or so to me, I've got time. And I thought, yeah, maybe, hope so, maybe so. You might. We are His by conquest. What a battle He had in us before we would be won, W-O-N. How long He laid siege to our hearts. How often He sent us terms of capitulation. I read about the battle in Ukraine and how the Russians sometime are sending terms like, you know, why don't you surrender? And the Ukrainians say, no, never. A little different thing, but you know, they want to fight. They want to be free. They want to keep their freedom. And brethren, I tell you what, I wanted to be free too of God and preaching and doing the right thing. I wanted to do what I wanted to do out there in the world. And God, brethren, kept fighting for my heart and sending me. He'd say, have you had enough yet? Have you had enough yet? I'd be out there in the world and then I'd feel lousy about it, shamed about it. And Jesus would say, had enough yet? You ready to capitulate? No, I'm going to try it one more week. I'm going to try it one more weekend. I'm going to get out there and have fun. But we barred our gates and fenced our walls against Him. Do we not remember that glorious hour when He carried our hearts by storm, when He placed His cross against the wall and scaled our ramparts, planting on our strongholds the blood-red flag of His omnipotent mercy. Oh, praise the Lord for that. Yes, we are indeed the conquered captives of His omnipotent love. Thus chosen, purchased, and subdued, the rights of our divine possessor are inalienable. We rejoice that we never can be our own, and we desire day by day to do His will and to show forth His glory. Isn't that good? God, I can't write stuff like that. I just have to share it with you. So good. It speaks the truth. It talks about God and His love and our relationship to Him. Wonderful, wonderful words there. Salvation. Salvation from God, the greatest thing we can be thankful for. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, says Paul. That's what we're to do. Giving thanks always for all things. And in November each year, I start thinking about Thanksgiving and I say, what am I thankful for? And then I start to think of the messages and I say, well, the greatest thing is the love of God and His salvation through Jesus Christ. the greatest thing. And then I think about other blessings. I experienced some yesterday, the love of the brethren, fellowship with the brethren. Iron sharpens iron, so the writer in Proverbs says. We get strength from one another. We get blessings from one another, from associating with one another. Blessings. Daily blessings. Psalm 68, verse 19. Would you turn there? Psalm 68, verse 19. The psalmist is talking about blessings from God. He says this, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Brethren, God daily loads you and me with benefits. Natural blessings and spiritual blessings. Natural blessings. Jan and I, after we read our devotion, the first thing in the morning, we pray most mornings. And we say, "Thank you, Lord, for the blessings already of this day." I mean, early in the morning, brethren, we're already loaded up with benefits. We have a shelter over us. We have central heat in this cold weather and the rain, a roof over us, clothing, food in the pantry. Thank you for sharing your food, brethren, with the needy. Thank you for bringing food here. Natural blessings, wonderful. God daily loads us with benefits. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. That's in Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22, I believe it is. Morning by morning, new mercies. His mercies are new every morning, it says. And then the hymn says, "Morning by morning, new mercies I see." Food, clothing, shelter, pleasures of life, natural family, parents, children, grandchildren, brother, sister, cousins. We got together last night at Jan's house with cousins, children, grandchildren, cousins. Oh, it was a great time. I was sitting in the dining room with some, and others were in the kitchen, and I said, "Listen to them in there." They were having a ball. It was just a good time. That's a blessing from God, brethren. It's blessing from God. Friends. And then lastly, things. Things, just things that God gives us. He gives us everything that we need, and then He gives us above that things that for our enjoyment. I'm thankful for those things. God is good. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Give God thanks. I hope, brethren, you and I'll be thankful this year, more thankful than we've been in days gone by. I hope you make an effort to list the things you're thankful for. I hope you contemplate on God's salvation. Lord, give us thankful hearts. I think I've said to you before that somebody in my family, I think it was a granddaddy, they used to do, when he would ask the blessing, he would say always, and my daddy would say this, "Give us thankful hearts for these and all our many other blessings." That's what he would say over the food on the table. Give us thankful hearts, O God, for these and all our many other blessings, because they are many and varied. O Lord God, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for life through Jesus Christ. Thank you for choosing us from before the foundation of the world to be your own. Thank you for the purchase made by Jesus Christ and the shedding of His blood. And thank you, O Lord, for conquering us and bringing us to you. May we thank you evermore, O God, for it. May we give us, O God, thankful hearts for that and all your other blessings. In the name of Jesus, we pray for His sake. Amen.